Okay, hope everyone had a pleasant Yom Tov season. When we last left off, we began discussing the various kulas that we have of Kesamim. We spent a couple chaburas discussing the kula Pachas Mikigris, and now we'll move on to discuss the kula of Eino Mekabel Tuma. The Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph and Daf Samach Amud Beis, the Memer of Reb Nechemia, that called Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, Eino Mekabel Kesamim. That any material that or any kli which cannot be mekabel tuma is also not subject to the din of ksamim. A kesem even yoser mikigris found on a davish einu mekabel tuma will not be metame. So rov rishonim paskin like shitas Rebbe Nechemia, and that is how we assume lahalacha. However, there is a position of the Ravid that the rishonim quote. That the Ravid says we do not paskin like Shitas Rebbe Nechemia. The Ravid is found in his Baalei Hanefesh Shar HaKisamim Simin Beis, and the Ravid's Raya that we do not paskin like Rebbe Nechemia is from a Gemara a little bit later on Nun Ches Amud Aleph. If you look at the Gemara a little bit before the final two dots on Nun Ches Amud Aleph, about two thirds of the way down, the Gemara has a episode. He isasad ishtakach la dama de mashtisa. A certain woman found dam on a mashtisa, and she came with a shaila to Rabbi Yanai, and ultimately we were machmir on that shaila. So, what is a mashtisa? The Ravid assumes that a mashtisa is a davar she'eino mekabel tuma. So most Rishonim assume mashtisa is some part of a loom used for weaving. So the Ravid doesn't really explain, but the Ravid assumes as a davar pashut that a mashtisa is a davar hat mekabel tuma, and you see from the Gemara that even a davar hat mekabel tuma is mekabel ksamim. So the footnote in the fancy edition of the Baalei Hanefesh, Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald from Bnei Brak's footnote, so he points out that the Ravid must have assumed that this mashtisa is a kind of pshute kli eitz, kli eitz without a base kibol, which is not mekabel tuma. And even though it was not mekabel tuma, nevertheless, we were mitami akesem found on this mashtisa. Most Rishonim, however, argue on the Ravid, and they assume one of two explanations in what a mashtisa is. The Baal Amor in his Hasagos on the Ravid's Baalei Nefesh assumes that a mashtisa is a part of the loom which is mekabel tuma. It's a regular kli oreg, a regular part of the chassis that's used on the loom, and therefore is a davar hamekabel tuma. That's how most Rishonim understand mashtisa. And if you look at Tosus here on the top of Nilches Amun Aleph, Tosus Dibur Maskel Kerebi Nechemia, Tosus writes, Vahim Mashtisa Debesamuch, Nihi Delom Mekabla Tuma. So even though it's not a standard Kli that would be Mekabla Tuma, Mikol Makom Mekabla Tuma Binagayim. So even though it's not Mekabel most kinds of Tuma, it's not a Kli that is a general Dover Mekabla Tuma, nevertheless, it is subject to Tumas Tsaras. And since it is subject to Tumas Saras, that is enough of a reason for us to apply the din of Gezeras Ksamim. Okay, so again, we have this line of Mashtisa here. The Ravid thinks that Mashtisa somehow is a Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, and that's his Raya that we paskin against Rebbe Nechemia. And while the other Rishonim understand the Mashtisa is a Davar HaMekabel Tuma, either it's a Kli Arig, so it's a Mekabel regular Tuma, or as Tosus learns, it's Mekabel Tumas Negayim, and according to Tosus, which we'll see may be important in Lahalacha, according to Tosus, even if something is Mekabel Tumas Negayim, that's enough of a reason to make it Mekabel Tumas Ksam. Okay, so again, bottom line, the Ravid's position, although quoted by the Rishonim, is rejected, and Lahalacha, we accept the position of Rebbe Nechemia, that called Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, Eino Mekabel Ksam. Good. So why is it that we have this carve out for Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma in Hilchos Kesamim? So there are two main approaches here in Rishonim. If you look at the Chidushei HaRashba In our sugya here on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, the Rashba in the middle of Dibra Maschil Gemara writes as follows: the Efshar Mibnei Shelo Gazru El Al Hamatzoi. In general, Gzeiros Chazal are limited to things that are prevalent, Davar Hamatzoi. And since they were not Gozer on something that's not Matzoi, Davar She'ena Mekabel Tum Eina Matzoi, Sheteisha Velav, Oshet Tishtamish Bo Biyeshiva Levisha, something which is not Mekabel Tuma, is not normally used for sitting on or for wearing. Because just about any garment or any chair is going to be mekabel tuma. So therefore, since it's a darvish eino matzoi, it's not normal to have a kesem on a darvish eino mekabel tuma. Therefore, the gzeiras ksamim was not extended to a darvish eino mekabel tuma. Yeah.
So according to that logic, would things change nowadays? Probably like the spoon versus objects, which because there's substance and material, would not mekabel tuma, and yet because of how common they are.
So once Xeri was instituted, even if the percentages of Matsui change, I don't think the nature of the Xeri would change. You know, the parameters of the Xeri were instituted by Chazal, for whatever reasons Chazal had in mind. So even if there's some change in the usage of various items, the Xeri, as it originally was implemented, would still remain. Okay? Fine. So according to the Rashba, it's a davar she'eino matzoi. We have that in many places. That Chazal only goes on a davar matzoi, and davar she'eino mekabel tuma, as far as Chazal goes, is considered eino matzoi. The second general approach in Rishonim, you find, for example, in the Chidushei Haran, also in our sugya, Chidushei Haran Nun Zayin Amid Beis Dibur Hamaschil Moda. So the Ran writes as follows. V'haytayma mishum divedavar hamakabel tuma kevan shemasha nimsa alav hakesem tamei gazib barabanan kideshelo yavo letaher habeged. The reason for tumas ksamim is primarily so we don't come to be metaher the beged, meaning that the Gzeiras Ksamim al Isha is an extension of Gzeiras Ksamim al Habeget. Any dam that comes out of a woman is going to be Metame Habeget, Metumas Maga. And therefore, so as not to get confused between the status of a Habeget and the status of a woman, we extend the Beged status to the woman, meaning along the lines of the Chasm Sofer that we had explained a number of chaburas ago, B'das Arayvet, that Ksamim don't apply B'zman Hazeh, the basic notion over here is that when it comes to Tumas Ksamim, Min HaTorah, a woman is only Tameya if Dam is Baba Hargasha. But Min HaTorah, Beged could be Tame even without Hargasha. So once we are mitame the beged, we don't want to create a confusing situation where you're going to have a beged that is tame and a woman is tahora. So wherever we are mitame the beged, by extension we're going to be mitame the woman. So that only makes sense if you have a beged which is mekabel tuma. But if you have a beged which is not mekabel tuma, and we're not going to be mitame the beged, then there's no need to be mitame the woman. So again, tumas haisha, when it comes to Ksamim, it's an extension of Tumas HaBeged, where there's no need to be Metame the Beged, we're not going to be Metame the Isha. Let me just finish the citation. About Kishanim Samadarish, Eidem Kabul Tumba, Lo Gozer Al Isha Klau. Yeah.
So, why wouldn't they just not be making Zer to be Metame the Beged in the first place?
Because the Beged may be Tame even in a Torah, because you don't need Hargasha in order to be Metame a Beged.
But don't you need a blood to be Metame the Beged?
Good. So you have blood on the beged, right? So you have a suffix.
Is it need of blood? Is it like the chla need of blood of it if there is no argasha?
No. So even if it's not dam need that would make a woman asura, it's still dam haba min hamakar. See, dam haba min hamakar. We assume the Gemara in Tezayin makar mekomo tame. So I'm embellishing what I'm saying in the round here. Now I'm embellishing a little bit based on the Nod Bihuda that the Pesach Tshuva writes. Nod Bihuda kama yoredaya simen nun beis. So this may be a little bit more than what the Ran actually says, But the way the Noda Bihuda expands is that Mina Torah, because Makor Mekamo Tameh, any dam that comes out of a woman, even if it's Shalom Bahargashi, is going to be Metameh, a Beged, let's say, right? So Mina Torah, the Beged could be Tameh, even if the woman is Tahara. So Midi Rabbanon, we extend the Tumas HaBeged to the woman, so we don't have a confusing situation where there's this split between the Beged status and the Heter Labal status.
So this Ran has been explained, mm-hmm. Is not only is explaining the difference between the third Mechavatam and the Mechavatam, and it's right. Also explaining why a woman at all is Tameh when there's a Kesem?
Well, that's along the lines of the Chasam Sofer, who said something similar that we quoted earlier in terms of the reason for Tumas Kesamim in general.
Okay.
Correct.
Oh, sorry, last thing.
By
that same, is a human body in Kesem?
Yes.
So then, mm-hmm. If the Dam and Amakar, even that Ergash, unless, I don't know if this looks something. But if the Dam and Amakar, if it was found in a Beged, as Mechavatam is Metame, that
right.
Wouldn't that be Metame? And you wouldn't automatically be Metame her body, albeit she might not be a Nida. The same way she should also then automatically, we would assume automatically is Tame regardless, she's maybe not Nida.
So there may be Tumas Maga, right, that's okay. Correct, but it wouldn't be Tumas Nida, Laos, or Levaila, correct.
Is Tumas Maga only the place where the Kesem is, or is the whole Beged becomes?
I think the whole Beged would become Tame.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. So if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos has something similar. The Noda Bihuda seems to think that Tosfos is exactly like the Ran, and other Achronim distinguish slightly. But at least as far as the notion that Tumas Isha is an extension of Tumas HaBeged, and where there's no Tumas HaBeged, there's no Tumas HaIsha Midrabanan. So Tosfos writes here on the same Tosfos that we quoted earlier, just the first line on the top of Nun Chesem and Aleph. Time the Rabbi Nechemia came into Davar Shakesem Bo Tahor Gamal Isha Lo Gazer Tumas. So wherever the Beged itself is Tahor, we don't extend Tumas Ksamim to the Isha. So again, the two basic approaches in Rishonim as to why there is this carve out of Davar She'ena Mekabel Tumas Eina Mekabel Ksamim is either because it's a Davar She'ena Matzoi and a Davar She'ena Matzoi Lo Gazer Chazal, or because there's a connection between Tumas HaBeged, which is a starting point for conversation, and Tumas HaIsha. So wherever we're going to be Metame the Beged, we're going to be Metame the Isha. If the Beged is not Tame, then there's no extension of Tumas Ksamim for the woman. Okay. What's a possible nafkamina between these two approaches in Rishonim? So, not Mukhrach, but if you notice in the Pisgei Tshuva in Se'if Katan Yud Zayin, the Pisgei Tshuva quotes a Sidrei Tara in the end of Sif Katan Sadi Gimel. This is the extremely lengthy Sidrei Tara that we've referenced a few times earlier. The Sidrei Tara in the end of Sif Katan Sadi Gimel has a Chiddush Ledina. The case that he's talking about is if you find what he begins the discussion with, is if you find a Kesem on Tsoa. So Tsoa is a Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, and therefore if you find a Kesem on Tsoa, that would not be Mitame. The question that he raises is, what if you find a Kesem on a piece of Tsoa, which is in a Kli that is Mekabel Tuma? So basically the question is, what is the status of a Kesem found on a Davar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, which is resting on a davar ha-mekabel tuma? Okay? So that is the...
Resting on or inside?
Inside or on, doesn't make a difference. Okay, so that is the issue that the Sidur Torah raises. You have a kesem on a davar she'ena mekabel tuma, which is munach on a davar ha-mekabel tuma. So the Sidur Torah argues that since the whole reason for gzeiras kesamim to aser a woman through a kesem is as an extension of the status of a baguette or the status of a kli. So even in this case, where you're one step removed from the kli, which is tame / mekabel tuma, that would still be enough to apply the gzeiras summit. So even if you have a kesem on a piece of tzava, which is inside a kli and mekabel tuma, Sidur Torah argues that the woman would be Tamei. Okay? Many Achronim dispute this Chumrah of the Sidrei Torah. If you look in the Badi HaShulchan, in the Be'urim here in Sif Yud and Shulchan Aruch, the Badi HaShulchan argues, or he has compelling proofs, that the Chasam Sofer and the Shulchan Aruch Harav both argue with this premise of the Sidrei Torah. It's not explicit in those Achronim, but you take a look there in the Badi HaShulchan, he explains how it does emerge quite clearly from the Chasam Sofer and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that if you have a kesem and a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, which is resting on a davar hamekabel tuma, the woman will still be tahora. Darkei Tshuva here in Sifkatan Nun Gimel quotes a Minchas Chinuch HaMitzvah Kuf Samach Aleph, who also is masig on the Sidrei Torah. Although the Darkei Tshuva himself leaves it with the Tzarech Ian as to how to Paskin L'maisa, I think most Achronim, or most of the later Poskim, are a makel on the Shiloh of the Sidrei Torah, not to be metame a kesem, where the kesem is on a davar ha she'eino mekabel tuma, resting on a davar ha mekabel tuma. In the Sefer Mereshes Moshe Simon Peivav, he suggests that maybe this issue should be totally on the question of why do you have tumas, or why do we not have tumas ksamim on a davar she'eino mekabel tuma? That if it's based on milsa de lo shchicha lo gozu but rabbanon, so even in this case it's considered still to be a milsa de lo shchicha. If we don't, the reason that we don't extend tumas ksamim to a davar she'eino mekabel tuma is it's lo shchiach to have a kesem and a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, so it's as lo shchiach to have a kesem on a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, which is resting on a davar hamekabel tuma. Right? The extra complexity doesn't add to the shchichus of the situation. But if it's a derivative of the status of a beged, so one could argue, the status of the kli, so one could argue that here, if ultimately it's munach, even though not directly, on a davar ha mekabel tuma, which we have to be metame, so then it's arguable that that extension would apply to the isha in this case as well. So that kli is not muchach, but he suggests that might be the case, that this question would be dependent on the machlokas rishon that we presented as to why you have this carve out of darish enu makabel tuma enu makabel tuma.
Would the kli actually be tuma in that case?
The kli will be tuma.
It will be
tuma. Oh, I'm sorry. In the case where you have a kesem on a davar ha she'enu makabel tuma, which is resting on a davar ha makabel tuma.
Yeah.
There may be tumas. The Minchas Chinuch's argument is that you only have tumas masa ba'adam. There's no such thing as tumas masa ba'kelim. So that's a strong kasha on the Sidrei Torah. Moshe says, okay, so the Sidrei Torah maybe is only talking about a case where the second thing, the davar mekabel tuma, is the adam, not a kelim. So the person is holding a kli, which is ein mekabel tuma, that has a kesem. So then you would have tumas masa. So in that case, the person would be tuma. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the practical applications of this din of Darish Einu Mekabel Tuma, Einu Mekabel Samim. So the Ramah over here in Sif Yud quotes from a Hagos Maimini. Hagos Maimini is Perek Tes Yisui Via Os Hei. Hagos Maimini is quoting from the Smak or the Smag or both. And the Ramah's line here is that one of the exclusions from Hilchas Ksamim is a Beis HaKise She'enu Mekabel Tuma, that if you find a kesem on a toilet, that is not Mekabel Tuma. It's not Mekabel Tuma because it is Mechuber Lekarka, and as such would not pose a problem of Tumas Ksamim. In the Piskei Tshuvos, on page Reish Nun Aleph, he points out that even if you have a toilet seat, which is not necessarily part of the toilet, but since the toilet seat is connected to a Meshamesh, the toilet which is Mechuber Lekarka, that also has the status of Mechuber Lekarka, which would not be Mekabel Tuma. So even if you would argue as a minority of poskim do, that plastic in general is mekabel tumah. Most poskim assume that plastic, or many assume that plastic is not mekabel tumah. Even if we were to argue that plastic is mekabel tumah, a plastic toilet seat would not pose a problem because it's connected to the toilet, which is connected to the ground, and that is all one unit. The Piskei Teshuva here notes, or at least he cites, a note Bihuda in Tinyana Simon Kuftes. This is Piskei Teshuva Sivkat in Yutes. If you want to take a look, the note Bihuda there has four categories of what's considered Mechubar LaKarka, under what circumstances, which is relevant to this discussion, but a little too detailed to go into in the short time that we have. But you can take a look inside in Note Bihuda Tinyana Simon Kuftes. Yeah.
What about if the kesem was found in a bedpan? Is something that's not mechubar l'karka?
So if a kesem is so that's this issue of the Sidur Tara. If it's found directly on the bedpan, if it's a plastic bedpan, so that's presumably according to many poskim a mekabel tumah. If it's a metal bedpan, if it's not directly touching the kli, so that would be the shiloh of the Sidur Tara of kesem on a davar she'ena mekabel tumah, which is on top of davar mekabel tumah. If it's on the kli proper, so then that would be a problem. Okay. What about, yes?
How big of an object is could be considered the karka itself? Lamashal, like a trailer or something, like a caravan.
Right. So, house is generally considered to be karka.
Yeah. Is that separate? So, yeah, is that a quick answer?
Yeah. No. That's karka.
Okay.
And anyway, any kli which is more the masik more than 40 sa'a is not mekabel tumah. So any big kli would be mekabel tumah. I guess for all the details we'd have to learn through all of Maseches Kelim, or at least the last 29 Prakim Maseches Kelim, to understand a lot of the details here. That as we pointed out in the first Chaburah, the Maseches Nida is in Seder Taros, and even though most of our discussions are about the Yisrael Abayla, the real original discussions and most of the topic of the Maseches is about Taros. Yoni?
Is it a car?
Car probably is not mekabel tumah.
So any part it's of
more than
it's a
I'm sorry? But it's more than probably more than 40 sa, no?
Just a
klima teches even more than 40 sa is mekabel tumah?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
it's not a klei, it's right. Right. So so glass is mekabel tumah d'rabbanan, that's the shaila in poskim, that'll be who does machmir, that tumas ksam even applies to tumas d'rabbanan, and others are mekel, that same machlokas haposkim. Rabbi Sobolowski points out that an airplane is not mekabel tumah. So if you have a kesem on a toilet and an airplane, you wouldn't have the kula of the ramah, if that should ever happen. Would be mekabel. It's not mechubar l'karka. Sorry, the kula of the Ramah is that a basic kisa is mechubar l'karka. So if it's mechubar l'karka, so then it's not mekabel tumah. But a toilet on an airplane is not mechubar l'karka, and therefore would be mekabel tumah.
Why is that different than like an RV?
It's that's resting on the ground. No, so I'm not sure. As you're saying, if it is right, even as Masik Yosir Miyar Ramsa, because it's a Kli Machas, it would be Mekabel Tumah. But why is that different than a house? Because you can move it? Maybe, not sure. I have to find that out. An airplane is definitely not Mechubar L'Karka because it's in the air.
Yeah, but it's still bigger than.
So that wouldn't be a function of the size per se. Right, so you're correct that if Kli Machas Yosir Miyar Ramsa would be Mekabel Tumah. But if something is rooted on the ground, it's mishamish karka, it's not mekabel tumah. If you have something, a car, not sure, I haven't seen it discussed. Full disclosure, I'm not holding enough in Maseches Kelim to be able to flesh out all these details. Okay, so we'll have to look into cars. What about if you find a kesem in the water in a toilet bowl? That's a potentially more complicated shaila. If you look in Rav Meir Brandsdorfer's Chuvas Kinei Bosem, Chelik Beis Simenun Hey has a very lengthy chew about this. It touches on a sug of Megabayim in Mikvos. At the end, he's noted lahachmir that the water inside a toilet bowl would be mekabel tuma. Dayan Weiss Minchas Yitzcha Chela Tes Simen Sadi Gimel is Mako. Rabbi Willig says he could be Mako about the Shaila. My sense is that Poskim are more noted lahakel on this, but it is a little bit of a discussion in the literature. The details are. I think on the complex side of Taurus. Again, Knei Bosem Chele Besim Nun Hei, in a lengthy tshuva, in a much shorter tshuva, in Minchas Yitzchak, Chele Tes Simen Tzadi Gimel. Yeah.
So, I mean, at least one basic question about it.
Yeah.
Water is Mekabel Tumah, right?
Water in principle is Mekabel Tumah. The question is, what's the source of the water here, and is it connected to the source? Okay. And it may be disconnected, and therefore... have a new status and not Mekabel Tumah. So there is what to be mekel about by a kesem found in water in a toilet bowl. The Shach in Sif Katan Tes Vav over here quotes the Tosos that we mentioned a little bit earlier, that Kol She Mekabel Tumas Negayim Af Avisha Ein Mekabel Shar Tumah Mekabel Ksamim Mitmeis. So the Shach paskins this Tosfos. Right, this is Tosfos' explanation to the Gemara of Mashtisa, that even if something is not Mekabel regular Tumah, if it's Mekabel Tumas Negayim, it will be Mekabel Samim. So based on this Shach and Tosfos, if you look in the Torah Sashlamim here, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, the Torah Sashlamim suggests that maybe in a house, which would be Mekabel Tumas Negay Batim, a house would be Mekabel Ksamim. So we generally would have assumed that if you find a Kesem on the wall of a house, then that is not subject to Tumas Ksamim. But since a house could be subject to Nege Batim, says the Torah Ksamim, maybe it would be Mitame. The Siddur Tar argues, Siddur Tar points out that there are, even if you were to assume, in theory, that if you have a kesem on the wall of a house which could be subject to Negev Bat, would it be subject to Negev Ksamim, that would only apply in Eretz Yisrael, because there is no Tumas Negev Batim in Chutz Laretz. And there are other conditions as well. It has to be the house has to be built of avanim, afar, v'etzim. There are various conditions in order for a house to be tamei tumas negayim, even Eretz Yisrael. So in theory, maybe if you had a kesem on the wall of a house in Eretz Yisrael that was constructed in such a way that it would be subject to tumas negayim, maybe that would be subject to tumas ksamim as well. The practical application of that, I think, is somewhat limited. Okay. What about a kesem found on lunar dust? So, you're probably thinking that you came here to hear Halach L'maisa, so why are we talking about such theoretical things? Lunar dust from the moon. So there's actually an article in all the news outlets today that an Israeli firm won the first bid in some Google contest to send a spacecraft to the moon by the end of 2017. So this actually could be L'maisa. So this actually is a machlokas between Rav Mendel Kasher and an anonymous rabbi that he quotes and doesn't name in the end of his sefer Hadam al Yareach. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, there is a certain excitement in the halachic literature, at least Rabbi Kasher was excited, and he authored this nice 73-page book entitled Hadam al-Yareach that discusses various halachas that apply to the moon. So a lot of it is, it's an interesting work to look at, a lot of it is hashkafic, and he has a piece about Zmanei Hayom and when would you daven on the moon, which is relevant to when you would daven on a spaceship or places where we don't experience sunrise sunset. That's another shir. But the last chapter in this Sefer Adam al-Yareach, he's not talking about Tumas Ksamim, he's talking about Tumah in general. So the person that he's quoting quoted the Mishnah in Kalim. Mishnah Kalim, Perek Yizayin, Halach Yidal, which is also relevant to Parshas HaShavua. The Mishnah there says, Yesh b'mash nivra b'yom harishon tumah, that things that were created on day one in creation are subject to Tumah. Yom Hasheni is Ein Bo Tumah. Shlishi is Yesh Bo Tumah. Revi V'Chamishi Ein Behem Tumah. So things that are created on day 1 and 3 are subject to Tumah. Things that are created on days 2, 4, and 5 were not subject to Tumah. So what does it mean? Things that are created on day 2 and 4 are not subject to Tumah. So the person that Rabbi Kasher quotes thinks, oh, now we understand. It means that if you fashion a kli from lunar material, then it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Or if you fashion a kli, that's day 4. If you fashion a kli from atmospheric material, day 2, then it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. All the Rishonim there explain, what does it mean, day 4 is not Mekabel Tumah? It means that it's not Shayach Tumah by the celestial beings, that it's not Shayach to have a moon that becomes Tumah. So this rabbi suggested, no, now we understand Shat. Now the man landed on the moon, we understand Shat, that if you make a kli out of lunar material, then it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. So Rabbi Kasher thinks that that's incorrect. Because number one, even if you could explain that on the day 4 material, you make a kli out of lunar material, it's not Mekabel Tumah, what's day 2? You make a kli out of atmospheric material, out of the sky? What does it mean to make a kli out of the sky? And maybe you'll tell me, well, it means you make a kli out of meteors, but we know that meteors are created on day 4, not on day 2. And anyway, kli evin is not mekabel tumah. So it can't mean that it's not shy to make a kli out of atmospheric material. So equally, Mishnah can't be talking about making a kli out of lunar material. So Rav Kasher thinks that more mistaber is that that lunar material is mekabel tumah, just like earth material is mekabel tumah. And he quotes the Zaraya, Medrash Rabba, this week's Parsha. The Medrash says, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yosef, Kol ma sheyesh b'shamayim u'ba'aretz ein b'yaso ela min'aretz. Anything created both in Shemayim and in Aretz, the raw material for that is min ha'aretz. So even that which exists b'shamayim, the raw material is min ha'aretz, whatever that means. So even the rain and the snow that comes down from the sky, the raw material is from the ground. So if that's the case, he argues that the Afar Halavano also is min ha'aretz, that the lunar material is really earthly material that somehow got there. And therefore, just as if you fashion a kli from Afar ha'aretz, it would be mekabel tumah, so too if you fashion a kli from Afar Halavana, it would also be mekabel tumah. Although he does acknowledge that the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim and in Yesodei HaTorah Perek Beis Halacha Gimel seems to go like the other opinion of that Medrash, that Kol Ma Sheyesh B'Shamayim V'Yaso Min HaShamayim. So if you assume that Kol Ma Sheyesh B'Shamayim V'Yaso Min HaShamayim, then maybe you could still be mistapek that lunar material, perhaps it would not have a din of Tumah. So that is the issue that Rabbi Kasher raises in Hadam al Yareach. So bottom line, if this shaila ever comes up, we'll have to deal with it. And these are the preliminary marmer kamas. Okay, if you didn't get that, it probably won't be on the Bechina. Okay, the Darkei Tshuva, speaking of snow, the Darkei Tshuva in Sifkat Nun Zayin quotes a Tshuva Bar Levi that points out that Sheleg is not Mekabel Tumah, so if you find a Kesem on Sheleg, on snow, it is not Mekabel Tumah. Okay. The Shach points out over here the same Sifkatan that we quoted a few moments ago, in the beginning of Sifkatan Tezayin, that when it comes to Darush Ein Mekabel Tumah, there are two categories of Ein Mekabel Tumah. There's material which cannot be Mekabel Tumah. So any kli fashioned of material that cannot be Mekabel Tumah is not Mekabel Tumim. And then even if you have a kli fashioned of material that can be Mekabel Tumah, there is a minimum size for a kli Lekabel Tumah. So if you have a kli that is smaller than that minimum size, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumim either. So the Shach writes over here, Afilu min shehu Mekabel Tumah, ela sheshi'uro garam lo, that if it's smaller than the minimum shear, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah either. So that is based on, or at least you have to look at, the Rambam in Hilchos Kalim, Perakav Beis halacha aleph. The Rambam writes, what is the shiur beged to be mekabel tuma? So for tumas madritz, it's 3x3 tfachim. For tumas hames and other tumos, it's 3x3 etzbaos. What is 3x3 etzbaos? So if you look in Rabbi Forst's book, he gives you the inch equivalent measurements. Subject to the same achlok as Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish about all shiurim. So according to Reb Chaim Noah, 3 etzbaos comes out to 2.36 inches. According to the Chazon Ish, 3 etzbaos comes out to 2.83 inches. So in order for a beged to be mekabel tuma, it would have to be somewhere in the 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch range. However, the Rambam continues, v'medvar mamurim bidigdei tzemer upishin. This shear that I just told you of 3x3 etzbos, that's only relevant for bidigdei tzemer upishtim. Aval begadim shel shar minin, but begadim made out of other material, even if it's material that will be makabel tuma, there the shear is also 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. So according to the Rambam, it's only by tzemer and pishtim that the shear is gimel etzbos by gimel etzbos. However, by other materials, the shear is 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim, which is a much larger shear. That would be like 9 inches by 9 inches. What is this dependent on? So Rav Avadia points out in the Tara Sabayis that this should be dependent on Machlokas Rishonim that we have by Tzitzis. Right? We know of this as Machlokas and Mechaber, the Ramah, as to whether Min HaTorah are you only Chayiv in Tzitzis on a Beged Tzemer Upishtim, or are you even Chayiv B'Tzitzis Min HaTorah in a Beged made out of other materials. So that's based on a Sug in Shabbos as to whether Stam Begadim are only Tzemer Upishtim, or are Stam Begadim other materials as well. So that is relevant to Hilchos Tzitzis, and is also relevant to Hilchos Tuma. That if Stam Begadim are limited to Tzemer Upishtim, then this shear of Gimel Espos, El Gimel Espos, is also limited to Tzemer Upishtim. If Stam Begadim include other Begadim as well, other materials, then the shear of Gimel Espos will apply to other materials as well. Rav Avadia argues that even for B'nai Ashkenaz, who assume, like the Ramah, and the Ramah paskins that you're mechuyev in tzitzis min haTorah even by other materials. So by extension, we should have to be machmir by ksamim, that even other materials, the shear is going to be gimel by gimel et baos. So Rav Avadia says, no, even Ashkenazim could be mekel, because b'ksamim shomim lahakel, that our general orientation is to be mekel in hilchos ksamim. So you can be mekel like the Mechaber and like the Rambam. Now there are two other caveats to this, and with this we'll close. Number one, Rabbi Vadi also points out, and I didn't see anyone in print that argues explicitly, although maybe some do. Rabbi Vadi also points out that the shear gimel al gimel is dafka gimel al gimel. If you have a baguette that's, let's say, 2 etzbos by 5 etzbos, it's also not subject to tumas ksamim, even though the square etzbos are the same, because that's the nature of the gzeira. You know, the gzeira was formulated in such a way to exclude anything less than gimel al gimel meruba. Okay. And then the second point, the Badi HaShulchan in Badi HaShulchan in his Be'urim here on Sif Yud, Dibur Maskel Shenimsa, points out there's a Tosfos on Daf Samach Amud Beis. Short Tosfos, take a look on Samach Amud Beis. Tosfos there writes, B'matlonios she'en behen gimel al gimel. Mashma di chashiv alayu v'yichdam mekablim tuma. That is mashma gemara in Zvachim, that even if you have a kli that is less than gimel al gimel etzbos, if your machshiv, if you have machshava that kli, that beged should serve a function, then it's mekablim tuma even with a smaller shear. So if this is correct, this should be relevant to situations where you have a smaller size baguette that you intend to use for a function. If you look in the Gilyon HaShas here, Gibeger's Mitzayin, Atosis and Sukkah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Tosis there writes otherwise. There the Gemara is talking about blows, that little pieces of cloth that are not usable for a sukkah. So there Tosis writes that machshava doesn't work. Tosis there writes, and maybe the distinction is between where it's machshavos and ikaris mitoch maisav. If it's clear from the way you're using this kli that you had such a machshava, maybe there it will be mekabel tuma. But if it's not clear from your usage that you had such a machshava, perhaps there it would not be. So again, the Badi Yosholchan does quote this Tosis as a relevant marmokum, but even among Tosis, Rabbi Eger points out that it's not clear lahalacha, or at least Tosis in different places seems to say different things. And the other poskim don't seem to quote this lahalacha in this context. So just to sum up again what we discussed today, we do accept lahalacha, the din of Rabbi Nechemia, that kol darish eino mekabel tuma eino mekabel samim, either because it's a darish eino matzli or because there's a relationship between tumas habeget and tumas samim. We discussed the chumra of the Sidrei Tara, that if you find a kesem on a davar she'enu mekabel tuma, resting on a davar hamekabel tuma, Sidrei Tara is machmer that many are mako. We discussed the din of the Ramah that a beis hakiseh is not mekabel tuma. Water in the beis hakiseh is a more complicated shaila. The Shach quotes the din of Tosos that even a tumas negayim is relevant to this equation, although the practical application of that may be limited. And then we just discussed that if you have a baguette which is less than the regulation length of 3x3 etzbos or tvachim, it would not be mekabel tuma either. So next time we'll have to discuss some other applications of this din, the status of paper and other materials, and then we'll move on to discuss the Gadim Sivonim, which is the third carve out in Hilchos Samim. After that, we're going to move on to, we'll make a few brief aris about the end of Siman Kufsadi, but I would advise that if you haven't yet, you should begin running through the rest of Siman Kufsadi, just Mechaber, Ramah, and Shach. We'll make a couple brief observations about some of those sifim that are more lemaisa, and then we'll move on probably by either the end of next week or the beginning of the week after to Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Din Isha Shamas Adam Bahashtanah.